The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
All right, praise God. I'm sharing with you this morning a message. It's actually a two-part message. The first part of this message, well, actually, I'm calling this message Behold the Lamb, because John the Baptist saw Jesus coming to be baptized, and he said, pointed to him, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that comes to take away the sins of the world." Now, as we get into this message this morning, we're going to realize that there's a couple things happening. I've titled this, actually, message this morning. This is part one. But Hosanna in the Highest, which is talking about the coronation of the king and also the presentation of the Lamb. Because Jesus was not only coronated as the king on the time that we celebrate now as Palm Sunday, but he was also presented as the Lamb of God to the nation of Israel. So I'm going to ask you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 21. We're going to get started with this message this morning. Hallelujah. How many are glad they're here this morning?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Beats being in the hospital, doesn't it, Jerry? Amen. Praise God. You know, I don't know about you, but I think it's one of the best places to be is with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Serving God, worshiping Him. You know, we really don't in our society today, we don't put a lot of emphasis on gathering together as the body of Christ. Other things get in the way. There's no doubt about it. But this is an important part of what Christ called us to do as the church. Assemble together. Fellowship with each other. You know, this part of it is incredible. We're learning about the Word of God. We're worshiping our living God. But there's more to it than that. There's fellowship, where we come together and we study the Bible, where we spend time together, we get to know each other, we become community. And that is so important, that we become a community with one another, that we're there for each other. We see the things of God coming to pass as we pray and believe. Well, this morning I want to talk about what we refer to as the triumphal entry. If you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 21, we'll begin reading with verse 1. "Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village opposite you and meditate, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them.' All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt of a foal of a donkey.' So the disciples went out and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set them on them. And a very great multitude spread the clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna, or blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.' And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, 'Who is this?' So the multitude said, 'This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee.'" An incredible happening here. But I want you to understand there are some things that's going on here that we probably have not really understood for a long, long time. As the Church of Jesus Christ, as those who are particularly in this nation, most of the church all over the world is non-Jewish, we don't understand how much tradition was going on right here in this particular passage in this time in history. Tradition is an important part of our following of Jesus Christ, and I would say of religion. Now, here's what I want us to understand, though. It's very important that we do not just allow our religious experience with God to become tradition. Because if we just know, if we just follow God based on tradition, we will not be following Him for the right reason. We should have a heart for our God. But there are certain traditions that are important in the church. There are certain traditions that were important for Jesus and the Jewish people during the time that Christ walked the face of the earth. How many of you have traditions in your family? Amen. Traditional things that you do. Yeah. We have traditions here at Bethel Worship Center. We traditionally do things a certain way. Is there anything wrong with that? No. However, many times I've seen people do things out of tradition without even understanding it. See, tradition is a good thing as long as you understand what is behind that tradition, the purpose of that tradition. I think about the story that I heard about the little girl who's helping her mother bake a ham. And her mother cut the ends off the ham, put it in the pan, put it in the oven. And the little girl said to Mom, "Mom, why do we cut the ends off the ham?" And Mom said, "Well, I don't know. Why don't you call your grandma, because she's the one that taught me, and ask her?" She called Grandma up and said, "Grandma, we were baking a ham, and I asked Mom why we cut the ends off the ham, and she didn't know, so she said, ask you." And the grandma said, "Well, you know, I'm not really sure. My mom, your granny, is the one that taught me to do that. Why don't you call her?" She was still alive and doing well. She called her up and she said, "Granny, we were baking a ham. And Mom doesn't know, and Grandma doesn't know, but we cut the ends off the ham because that's what everyone was taught to do. Why do we cut the ends off the ham?" And the old granny just laughed on the other end of the phone. She said, "Well, because my pan was too small for the ham." It happens in the church. We follow tradition because that's just what we've always done. And we don't understand why we're doing it. It's important if we're doing something that we understand why we do it. That we understand there is a purpose behind it. There is something to this, and it's a way to connect us to the past so that we can understand what God is trying to do in our midst. There is much tradition that needs to continue in the church. You know, one of the things that I think, because of contemporary music, which is wonderful, I love contemporary music, I love worship, however it is done. But because of contemporary music, sometimes we have lost the tradition of the hymns. And that's a sad thing. Because those hymns have, now not all of them, we have to be careful, just like with modern day music. We have to make sure that they're speaking the right words and talking about the right things. But there are some wonderful hymns. You know, especially those that talk about the blood of the Lamb. My goodness, you can't get anything more powerful than that. So as we look at our traditions in the church today, traditions from the past, we need to understand that they're important, and we need to understand what is behind them. And what is happening right here in this scripture that I just read to you is tradition. There's a bunch of tradition that was going on right here in this. Now, what Jesus was doing was a part of the tradition that had been established leading up to the celebration of Passover. Does everybody know what Passover is for the Jewish people? You know, No one raised their hand. Okay, a few do. Okay. I just want to make sure we all understand Passover, because I am going to explain it just a little bit. Passover celebration for the Jewish people, and is fulfilled in Jesus Christ, was the time of remembering what God did for the Jews when they were in Egypt. The last plague was the destroyer. The destroyer came in to Egypt. God told the Jewish people through Moses, he told them, if they wanted their firstborn to survive, they had to take a lamb without spot or blemish, sacrifice that lamb, take the blood of that lamb, use hyssop branches, and put it on their doorpost and their lintels, on their hearts, really, is what he was telling them in the future for us. The blood of that lamb is on our heart. And the destroyer would pass over. And that's exactly what happened that night. All of Egypt lost their firstborn. But the Jewish people, or anyone who was obedient to Moses' command, God's command through Moses, their families were spared. Hallelujah. That's exciting. Our families are spared because of the blood of the Lamb. Glory. So Passover, this particular incident that we just read, what we call the triumphal entry, was actually a tradition that was leading up to the Passover celebration. Now, Passover, during the time of Christ, it had become known as simply Passover. Everybody referred to it as Passover. Many times today, the Orthodox Jews refer to it as Passover. But there was actually three feasts that was included in Passover. Passover, unleavened bread. Unleavened bread was the celebration, the seven-day celebration that followed Passover, because the next morning, after all the firstborn died in Egypt, Pharaoh said, get out of here. We don't want you here anymore, and take anything you want with you. Man, talk about blessing. They went to the Egyptians and they plundered the Egyptians without war. They said, give me your gold, and they gave it to them willingly. And they left. Let me tell you something. When you have the blood of the Lamb covering the doorpost of your household, you can demand that the enemy loose your finances, loose your family, loose your household. You can demand, and he has to give it up. Hallelujah. Glory. That is, that's great news. Because you're free by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Glory. It's good stuff. All right. What we are seeing, what we saw here in this particular situation, is Jesus fulfilling some tradition, but also fulfilling the law of Moses. It is important for us to understand these feasts. There are actually seven feasts of the Lord, and they're the Lord's feasts. And they actually, the importance behind all this is these feasts are God's timetable for things happening in the earth. Now, I can say that without reverence, being reserved about it, because I recognize that what happened was Jesus died on Passover. Jesus was buried as our unleavened bread, and he came back to life on first fruits, the Feast of the Lord. And then, beyond that, the Church of Jesus Christ was born on the next feast, Pentecost, 50 days from that period of time. Now, let me tell you something. If those things were the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, what do you think the next three feasts are going to be? The second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Get your house in order, church. Jesus is coming soon. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Amen. There's all kinds of signs that tell us that. Just 4 days from this period of time, Jesus is going to sit down with his apostles or his disciples, and they were going to participate in a traditional Jewish Seder, which is the telling of a Haggadah, which is the telling of the Passover celebration or the redemption of the Jews from the Jewish people now, or from the Egyptian people. Now, here's what's important is that during the age of the church, we have lost the understanding of the Jewish feasts and how important they are to us. The Christian church, let me tell you something, the worst thing that ever happened to the church was when the Church of Jesus Christ was legalized in the Roman and the church became the Roman Catholic Church. Now, I'm not condemning Catholics. I'm just telling you the worst thing that happened was that they were accepted and no longer had the persecution that caused them to stand. Because from that point on, these Christian leaders began to separate Christians from their Jewish understanding. And then in 1852, I believe it was, Pope Gregory the 13th changed the calendar. We no longer followed a traditional Jewish calendar based on the cycles of the moon. It was ecclesiastical calendar based on the church's understanding of the way things should be done. So at that point, we started losing, by that time, we had lost a lot of our understanding. So what I want us to see this morning is that tradition sometimes gets in the way of our understanding of God. For centuries, the church had a tradition of celebrating Easter. What is Easter? Come on. This is the celebration of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I don't care what terminology you use. That's what it's all about. It's not the celebration of some pagan goddess.
That's right. That's right.
That caused her followers to dip eggs in the blood of their slain infants that they sacrificed to her. You see where we get some of these crazy traditions? Our God wants us to recognize, and now I don't care. I'm not telling you that you're going to go to hell because you eat a chocolate bunny. Peeps for sure. Peeps are heavenly. Hallelujah. I don't want to leave you with that idea. But, you know, that's just part of it. Ishtar turned into first a bird and then came down and turned into a rabbit and started laying eggs. How crazy can that be? I want you to understand some of the traditions that we have in our nation and in our families. I don't want to condemn you for allowing your children to go out and hunt eggs, you know, Easter eggs, if you want. You know, that's not what my purpose here this morning. I just want to enlighten you of what is happening and what's going on. I can tell you this. I never taught my children about the Easter Bunny. I never taught my children about Santa Claus. I never taught my children about tooth fairy. You know, there was a couple of reasons. First of all, anytime I gave them a present, I wanted them to know who it came from.
That's right.
Didn't want to pretend like some fairy
That's right.
showed up or some bunny hopped around or some big fat jolly guy
right.
came in the house.
Amen,
I wanted them to understand I was their source.
That's right. That's right.
I am their source when they're growing up. And then I wanted to take that from me being their source to them understanding that God is their source.
Yes, sir.
So that's what it's all about, us as parenting. Well, I came to the conclusion, Tammy and I did early on in our Christianity, that if we taught our children about the Easter Bunny, Tooth Fairy, Santa Claus, and Jesus, eventually they were going to find out that we were lying to them about three of them. What are they going to think about Jesus? So, you know, it's important that we get a perspective on these traditions that we have. Jesus was coming in to Jerusalem that day, and there was a lot of tradition that was surrounding what was going on. So my first point this morning is, know your traditions. Know what it is. Why are you doing this thing that you do? If it's a good thing, if it's a good tradition, know it. Understand it. If it's some kind of ridiculous thing, know it and understand it. Understand that it has nothing to do with Jesus. But what does have to do with Christ is this celebration that we have, that he died on the cross in your place, in my place, that he shed his blood, that he defeated death and hell, and came back to life, just like God promised he would. And he walked on the face of the earth after that, proclaiming that he was the risen Savior. Those are the things that we want to attach ourselves to and understand. The second principle I want to talk to you this morning about is know your heritage. It's important that we understand the heritage that we have in Jesus Christ. Proverbs 13:22. Proverbs talks about a good man leaves a heritage or an inheritance to his children's children. Now, the reason I wanted to talk about that, because it is basically talking about leaving them something materially for once you pass on from this life, that you give your children an inheritance. Give your children a heritage to move on with. But I believe there's something much more to this scripture and much more in the Word of God that is important, and that is that we leave our children with a heritage of understanding that God is Almighty and Jesus is His Son and is our Savior. The Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah. So when we recognize that we have a heritage, we have to look back and say, okay, where did our heritage come from? Our heritage has really been stolen from us by the organized church. It has moved us away from our Jewish heritage into something that is just totally not even biblical at times. We need to understand these feasts. We need to understand what Jesus did for us. And we need to understand that our heritage is Jewish. Jesus was a Jew. His followers were Jews. In fact, for the first 10 years of the church, there was nothing but Jews in the church. Jesus said, I came to the lost sheep of Israel. Now, praise God, he's allowed us to be that wild olive that is grafted in. He gives us that opportunity because he loves us so much. He loves all his creation. Through the Jewish people, he allowed us to have a Savior. But now he allows all mankind. Anyone who will can come and take. Anyone who will say, Jesus has died on the cross, Jesus came back to life, Jesus is my Lord, can be saved. That's exciting. It's exciting to know these things from a biblical perspective. You know, having a heritage or handing down these things to our children are very important. When I first started dating Tammy, my wife, one of the things that I heard her dad say when one of his children would come in, and he had 10, one of his children would come in and talk to him about, I met so-and-so that knows you, he would always say to them, did you tell them you were a bar? Now, that may seem a little arrogant to some of you, but the truth is, what he was trying to convey to his children was that there is something special about you being a bar. Because, now, you know, I loved Henry, good man, had my conflicts with him. But I can tell you this, he was a man of integrity and honesty, and he instilled those things in his children. If he told you he was going to do something, Henry Barr would do it. He was one of the most honest people that I know of. So when he was saying to them, did you tell them about he was a bar, he was saying to them, he was trying to pass on a heritage to them. You have a name to uphold.
Yes.
And that's the same thing with us as believers in Jesus Christ. We have a name to uphold. The name of Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we're to be an example, an ambassador. And being an ambassador for Jesus Christ doesn't mean that you do what you want to. It means that you do what your king tells you to do. You do what is right for the kingdom, not for you. With all these pagan things involved in Christian this time of year, this season, it's important for us to understand what was happening, particularly in the Jewish culture at that time. Now, there was two things that the men were doing during this time that Jesus rode in what we call the triumphal entry. They were going to one of the 100 so mikveh pools to be ceremonially cleansed, because they had to be cleansed before they could participate in Passover. The other thing they were doing was they were going out and choosing a lamb without spot or blemish. Every male at a household had to go out and choose a lamb without spot or blemish. And they were going to bring that lamb according to Moses' directions. They had to bring that lamb. You see how cute that little thing is? Okay, that's sweet, isn't it? Can you imagine? Their purpose for going to get that was to take it into their house for 4 days, look it over, make sure it had no spots, no blemishes, and then on the eve of the 14th, cut its throat. It's going to live with you for 4 days. It's going to be in your house. Your children are going to love it. Embrace it. And then you're going to kill it. For your sake and for your sins. That's what we did to our Christ.
Yes.
He came. He was embraced. He was, you know, he spent this triumphal entry. He came in and he was presented. Now that's the reason I say the presentation of the Lamb, because he was presented to the nation of Israel as the Lamb of God. First as their king. And then as the lamb, because they rejected him as king, and now he was going to be their lamb. And they, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious leaders of that day, they inspected him. They asked him all kinds of questions, and they tried to trap him. They tried to find out if he had any sin in his life, and it was determined, and it was proclaimed by Pilate himself when Jesus stood before him, I find no fault in this man. Fulfillment of the scripture and the word of God. He was the perfect Lamb of God for us. So the men were all doing this. Now, here's what we got to understand. There was a city, Jerusalem was about, it had walls around it during this time, and there was a population of about 25,000 people that lived there. But during the three feasts, Passover, Pentecost, and Booths, all the men, Jewish men of the surrounding area were required to come to the city to worship. So when these feasts, Passover is one of them, when these feasts took place, the city's population swelled to 150 to 200,000 people, crowded in an area of about a 1 mile square. It was an incredible, exciting time, actually, for people, because according to the Mosaic law, these people were to, the men were all to bring their the tithe to the priests. And here's the other thing. Now, some of us complain about paying tithes or think about it. Some of you think, oh man, I got to pay these tithes again. Well, that's a wrong attitude to have. Thank God I can pay these tithes. Thank God I have the ability to pay these tithes. But you know what? There was another requirement for the Jewish men. They had to spend 10% of their income during that week on partying, on a great big party. Isn't that incredible? Now for us, we think, man, God's going to restrict me to 10% to party on? But they got to party with that money. Now, when I say party, it had to be within certain parameters. They didn't get wild and crazy. But it was for their good. They were to enjoy that week, that feast week, and spend that money. And let me tell you something. There was a lot of money being spent in Jerusalem. It was a very lucrative time of year for the Jewish people and the merchants. So what we see here is that there was a lot of money flowing around, and the religious leaders got to the point where they realized that and they wanted a part of it. Now let me tell you something about sacrifice. The Lamb of God had to be sacrificed on the 14th of Abib, which is the first month of their calendar year, which coincides with our March in April. So right around this time of year is Passover for the Jewish people. They had to sacrifice that lamb. But there was a lot of sacrifice that went on in Israel and at the temple. This temple was a beautiful place. Many of you probably remember that the Babylonians destroyed the first temple. After they destroyed that first temple, Nehemiah and Ezra went back and rebuilt. Nehemiah rebuilt the walls, and Ezra was a part of the rebuilding of the second temple. Well, that second temple was nothing compared to the temple that Solomon built. Solomon's temple was a magnificent edifice. It was beautiful. It was one of the wonders of the world at that time. But when it was destroyed, they rebuilt, and they couldn't rebuild it the way Solomon did, because there was, in our terms today, it would have been billions of dollars to build a temple like that. However, right before the time of Jesus, and when Jesus was born, there was a man by the name of Herod the Great, who was a prolific planner and builder. And he built up Jerusalem. He made a very nice place to live. And he built and he increased the temple. And he made it large and he made it incredible. And because of him, the temple was once again a magnificent place to come and see. Josephus, a historian of that time, said that when you came over the mountain into Jerusalem, it looked like a giant mountain itself, the temple did, because anything that wasn't gold was pure white and it glistened in the sun. It was a beautiful place. So this is the place that Jesus now is riding in on the foal of a donkey, fulfilling a 500-year-old prophecy and fulfilling some tradition that had built up around it. Sacrifices were very important. Every day, a lamb had to be sacrificed in the morning and in the evening. When a Sabbath came, they doubled that. On the Sabbath, they had to sacrifice two lambs in the morning, two lambs in the evening. On the first of the month, they had to sacrifice a bull, a ram, a goat, morning, along with the lamb. And in the evening, they had to repeat it. On special holidays, like we're talking about, feast times, there were various amounts of sacrifice that had to go on. But let me tell you about Passover. During Passover, they had to sacrifice that lamb, one in the morning, one in the evening, but then that special one that had to be sacrificed, along with all the thousands that had to be sacrificed of the households. Blood was flowing everywhere. During the unleavened bread, they had to sacrifice a bull, a ram, and a goat, along with the lambs, every day of that week. So as you can see, what prompted many people to call the Jewish religion a bloody religion is because there was so much sacrifice going on. There was other sacrifice above beyond that. There were free will offerings and sacrifice offerings that people would bring in on a daily basis. There was almost constantly sacrifice, blood being shed in the temple. Now, that's important for us to understand because the blood of the lamb is a complete and total sacrifice. There's no need. No need by the in the law any longer for that kind of sacrifice. Jesus' sacrifice took care of it all. Now, when we talk about the fulfillment of the law, that's what we're talking about. It was completely fulfilled by Jesus. Let me tell you what was happening that day. Jesus rode in. There was tradition. Know your tradition. Know your heritage. The tradition was that the priest would leave the Temple Mount with an entourage of priests. The other priests would line up, they'd make a corridor out to the north gate. The priest would leave through that corridor early in the day, go out the north gate, and he went to a special place, a place called Migdal Adar. It was a place where the lambs of God and the special sacrifices, because listen, one of the things I didn't tell you was this, that every one of those sacrifices had to be without spot or blemish. All the sacrifices I was talking about, they had to be perfect. So it's not hard to realize that some kind of an industry would grow up around that, right? And the priests wanted a part of that. Need to understand. They like that money flowing in. That's why Jesus was so upset right after this when he came into the temple and he saw the money changers. You know what they were doing? They were taking advantage of people. They were making the people they weren't allowed to bring their own sacrifice in. They had to leave their sacrifice outside and go in and buy the priest's sacrifice. That's why Jesus was upset. He had a right to be upset. People were being taken advantage of. You know what? People are being taken advantage of in our society today. We need to speak out. Whenever we see someone being taken advantage of, speak out. Listen, I see all kinds of crazy things going on in the corporate world, and they justify it. They justify it. They say it's okay. Their advertising is lies. One lie after another. And we sit around and just take it in. Go give them our money. People are being taken advantage of by governments all over the world. And the worst thing, people are being taken advantage of by preachers and teachers of the Word of God. Wolves in sheep's clothing. It's happening. But praise God. One day Jesus is going to come back. Yes. He's going to set everything right. Yes. My gosh, that makes me tremble. I don't want to be in a position where I take advantage of anyone. Yes. I don't want to be in a position where I'm not serving my Lord and my Savior. Yes. my King of Kings. So anyhow, the priest went out, and he was going to a special place. Now, here is something that I think is so incredible, because this special place, Migdal Adar, it really means tower of the flock, or watchtower of the flock. And the Tower of the Flock, basically what they did in cities, historically, they would set up watchtowers out, you know, on the perimeter of the city. And they would, the armies would watch for invading armies coming. Well, these watchtowers were no longer needed in that particular area. So they turned it into a place to take care of sheep and bulls and rams and goats. And it was a special place because the special animals that were going to be used for sacrifice was placed in that area. And they were, when a female was giving birth to an animal, they were brought into this Tower of the Flock, manger area. And they were specifically cared for by shepherds who were particularly trained by the priesthood to care for animals without spot or blemish. This is an incredible understanding of what God did through Jesus Christ. Because this place, we are told in Micah that Bethlehem is where this Messiah is going to be born. We are also given a specific area, Migdal Adar, the Tower of the Flock, in Micah 4:8, I believe it is, that it will be the place of the Savior. When they went out, the priest went to Migdal Adar, chose a perfect lamb, and brought it back. And when he came back, this is what would happen. The people, the priests were prepared for him. They were waiting for him. When he came back, they had all their palm fronds and their clothing and everything prepared. And the priest would begin shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when this priest started shouting, this is all tradition now, you have to understand. But the priest started shouting, the people started hearing it, and the people would run out of their houses. They would pick up their palm fronds and their branches and all these things to start shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna the highest." And the place would be in an uproar, and they would just be praising God and giving God glory and honor, because they were looking for the coming of their Messiah. They believed the Messiah would be presented to them on that day. That was their tradition. Little did they know, their Messiah was presented to them, and they rejected him. Because when Jesus came down on the foal of that donkey, fulfilling Zechariah 9:9, 500-year-old prophecy, as he rode in, his disciples started shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Tradition. That was their tradition. And when they started shouting, people started hearing it. And they thought it was the priest, and the priest heard it. And the priest started shouting, so everybody started shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And the place went crazy. Now, if you look in Luke, the account of Luke, the priest realized that it wasn't the high priest coming back with his lamb. And they say to Jesus, "Tell your disciples to shut up." And Jesus said, "If they don't cry out, the rocks will."
That's right. That
day, Jesus rode in as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to be coronated as their king. They turned their back on him. And for 4 days, he was presented to the congregation of Israel as the Lamb of God without spot or blemish. And on the eve of the 14th, Jesus died on the cross for our sins as the precious Lamb of God. Know your traditions. Tradition's not a bad thing. It wasn't a bad thing that was going on. It was all part of God's plan. Know your heritage. But most important, know your salvation.
Yes, yes, sir.
Yes, yes, yes. Amen.
Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the Messiah. My desire as your pastor is to make sure that you know what it takes to not only receive Christ as your personal Savior, but live a believer's life. But the most important part is you have to be saved. Nicodemus asked Jesus, what do I do? And Jesus said, you must be born again. Born again. You got to have a spiritual change in your life. We talk about turning from our ways. We recognize that we're sinners. We turn from that and we believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, that he died on the cross for our sins and he raised him from the dead and we shall be saved. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, and you shall be saved. Salvation, number one, most important thing. We've got to be saved. Today, there's a lot of preachers that are not talking about hellfire. And I can tell you this, the truth of the Word of God is you're going to suffer in hell if you do not receive the Messiah.
That's right.
Yes.
The answer. It's without a doubt. The Scripture is very clear. But God doesn't want that for you. He wants you to be a part of His kingdom. I read a pastor who said he had a dream. And he dreamed that he went to hell and witnessed what was going on down there. And he saw this guy that kept going along. And he would pick a guy up and he'd look at him and throw him back down. He'd go to another one, pick him up, throw him back down. And finally he went to this guy and he said, what in the world are you looking for? And the guy said, I'm looking for that no good pastor that told me there wasn't a place called hell. I'm telling you, there's a place called hell.
Yeah. That's
right.
I don't want to scare anybody into the kingdom of God. I want you to know Jesus loves you, cares about you.
That's right.
But there is a place of punishment.
Yeah.
I want you to be rescued from that.
Yeah.
Stand with me.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope this message has touched you in some way. Our purpose and desire for these podcasts is to edify believers and share the good news of salvation in Christ. If you'd like to receive Christ as your Savior today, look up Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It makes it very simple. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you'd like more information on salvation, visit our website at bethelwc.org. We have a section that explains it in more detail. If you confess Christ for the first time today, welcome to the family, and we would love to hear from you. Be blessed.